to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here. Today on What's the Mood, we have Mary Voigt. Mary has been in the mental health field for 10 years. She is a program lead in community-based services with Omni's counseling team and loves to provide a safe and inclusive space for her clients to feel heard and supported. Well, Mary, welcome to What's the Mood podcast. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So let's just jump in. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about how Mary got involved in the mental health field?
Yeah, for sure. I think a big piece of it was my generation, the millennial generation, was the children of those generations that kind of that don't ask, don't tell with mental health. You know, we knew something was wrong, right? We knew if we were feeling a sadness or scared or nervousness, but never really had a name for it. And our parents didn't either because it was just something that we never talked about. And I always kind of became the friend that people came to for help and, you know, advice and things like that. And I had my own stuff that I was, you know, figuring out and working through. And as I grew older and went through high school, and then college came, I was like, you know what? I'm like, I think this helping people is my thing. I love it. I have a passion for it. I want to learn about it. And I started taking psychology classes, and it was like the classes that I got A's in. And I was like, I think this is my calling. And so here I am.
That's very cool. So almost like as people naturally came to you as like the person to talk to or share their stuff with, you also learned just how passionate you are about this work in this field.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one field that's like never ending to learn about. And I think that drives my passion too, is like, there's always things that we can work on and learn and change and about ourselves and others and just the world around us. So that's a big piece of what I love too.
That's great. So, you know, speaking of your learning, just the knowledge and insight you've gained in all of your, you know, years in this field, what's something that you think, Mary, like parents or teachers would benefit to know from like just kind of just the roads you've walked in this realm?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is validation, right? So there's two big pieces with that for me. Okay. Validation in when our students are struggling, right? Or our children are struggling and they're coming to us and we're noticing something's wrong. You know, us as adults, we're like, well, what do they have to worry about, right? Like they're just in school, there's nothing to worry about. But just taking a moment and putting ourselves in their shoes again and remembering like when I was that age, you know, we have friendships, we have social skills, we have school, right? Like there are a lot of things that our kids now struggle with and maybe even more with technology and online bullying and just things like that. And so I think the biggest piece is just validation of, you know, letting our kids know or our students, you know, our children know like it is hard, right? Like even though you are young, it is hard. Right. And so like just kind of understanding that and like letting them know that like you get it, you've been there and it is uncomfortable because we're so quick to be like, oh, what do you have to worry about? Right. You're just a kid. You know, you haven't been with bills or rent or anything yet. But like it kids like they do have stuff to worry about. It's just different than what we know now. And the other piece with that, too, is when we see a child struggling, I really always recommend adults that I work with to ask two things to the kids. And one is, do you need my input? Like, do you want my input? Do you want my feedback? Do you want me to help problem solve? Or do you want me just to listen and just have you vent, right? Like let the youth let you know what they need, right? And so that kind of helps them build that confidence too of like, oh, I can make my own decisions and let them know what I need and helps them kind of explore themselves too. So that's like really the biggest thing is that validation and just asking those two questions. And I think adults, caregivers, teachers would really see a difference in that.
Yeah, those are big things. You know, I'm thinking like, why do you suppose it is at times like an adult could, you know, hear a student or their child like share basically about something that is hard, but their response is like more like, well, kid, you had no idea how much worse I had it, or Like I'm guessing that's the opposite of validating. It's more like invalidating. But why do you suppose adults sometimes respond that way?
I really think it's because as adults, we do have so much stress going on and things, you know, and just like the way our economy is, like we do have so much just every day-to-day things that we're worrying about that we forget something as simple as being a kid can be just as hard and stressful, but in a different way, right? Like they're all, you know, they're all stressful, but in different ways. And I think as adults, we forget what it was like being a kid. And like in our heads now, we're like, oh my gosh, it was so much easier being a kid, right? Because we have so much of this adult stuff that we have to do. But we forget that like there are pieces about kids that's being hard, and that's that socializing and making friends and, you know, being cool or worrying about, you know, certain things at school and just schoolwork in general. And so I think that's a big piece, is we almost forget what it was like, the hard parts of what it was like to be a kid.
Yeah. And speaking of validation, maybe it would be helpful for the adult to realize just because you validate that it's hard for your student or child doesn't mean that what you're going through isn't hard either. You know, like the stress and the things that you're talking about.
Cool. And I think it's opening up too with, you know, letting them know that, like, I get that, right, with that validation, but also letting them into like, yeah, you know, we go through really hard stuff as adults too. And kind of the more obviously age appropriate, but the more we share with our kids, it opens up just that door that they see us as safe adults.
Yeah. I'm curious with these two questions, you know, to ask an adolescent, do you want my input or do you want me to listen? What's typically, in your experience, what's typically the response to those two questions?
I actually get a lot of, well, I don't know, like, because it's almost like they've never thought that they've had a choice on how an adult would respond to them. I do that a lot with my teenage and my younger teenage clients when they come in, you know, with issues. And, you know, I say, well, you know, what do you want to do today? Do you want to problem solve? Do you want to vent? You know, I give them that choice. And a lot of them are always like, kind of looking around for the answer, like, I don't know. And so then I take that time to do kind of that empowerment talk of like, yeah, you're maybe just a teenager, but you do have that choice to say like, I don't need your feedback because it's overwhelming and I'm already overwhelmed, right? I just want you to vent. I just want you to let me vent and just hear me out, you know, things like that. And so I work through that with like the kids, and I explain kind of the difference between the two questions. And then, you know, I've seen like as sessions go on, kids will be like, okay, like some will come in and just be like, okay, I just need to vent. And they like right away communicate already what they need, which is a really cool change to see, is like you give them that question. And then as you keep practicing that question with them, they eventually come to you and they're like, I need help to problem solve, or I need help with this situation. Or they're like, I just need to vent. You don't need to say anything, right? So it's cool to see that evolution of empowerment growing with them.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so cool. So cool. Okay. So I'm hearing you say validation is a huge thing that you've kind of just in your experience in the mental health field see as a big thing and a real tip. Any other, you know, with the mental health struggle in our society presently and with adolescence, anything that you think is missing with like adult student relationships outside of validation?
And I think, I mean, I guess it comes with the validation piece, but believing.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Is really a big piece. You know, believing a youth, especially like maybe in a school, right? If they come to an adult in some kind, you know, just believing what they have to say. I think, you know, oftentimes maybe we think, okay, they're depressed, but it's not that bad, right? You know, things like that. And I think that's kind of the difficulty with society sometimes, is like, they put so much emphasis on like, oh, they're just depressed, or oh, it's just anxiety, right? Oh, they're just scared, they'll get over it. But I think believing it and taking it as, okay, what is the issue with this? Is it just maybe something in school that's struggling, or is it something more and it's presenting in this different way? And like not being afraid to ask questions, I think, is really a big thing too. Because again, if we don't ask, we don't know too. And just like we expect if they don't tell us, we don't know, right? But sometimes like we can tell if somebody's off a little bit. Yeah. And if we don't just ask, right, and then we don't believe what they say, it could get worse, you know, and, you know, it could be worst case scenario and things like that. So I just really think, you know, not being afraid to ask a youth, you know, like, what's going on? And they very well be like, oh, I'm fine. Okay. And just, you know, well, you know, if you need to, I'm here. And I'm going to check in next week too. Right. And so kind of just like showing them that somebody's there too. Cause we're in this big piece of break the stigma. Right. But I think even with that, that movement of breaking the stigma with mental health and ending the stigma, there is still a very big stigma of mental health of like, you know, I can't talk about it because I'm crazy, or I can't talk about it because nobody believes me, you know, and there's still the stigma with medication or seeing therapists and things like that. And so I think the more we normalize it and believe, that's truly what's going to end that stigma, is just the more people that normalize that for not even just kids, but each other, even in the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really interesting point you make. Like when someone says something, believe them, as opposed to, you know, fill in the blank, assume it's different, or, you know, think that can't possibly be what's going on with them. Or, you know, we, as a society, I think sometimes we do tend to come up with our own idea of what might be going on with Mary, as opposed to just asking Mary what's going on with her and trusting and believing her and her process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, believing your own intuition, right? A lot of times we, you know, we're told to like, oh, you're, you know, like, don't believe that. That's not true. Don't, you know, don't follow your gut, you know, things like that. It's right and wrong, but like follow that intuition. And I can't say that enough with parents, but really with teachers too. When you see a student and something just isn't sitting right with you, follow that, because there's probably something that's going on.
Yeah.
And not necessarily at home. It could be in friends, in school, but like, following your gut and trusting yourself is really something that I stress a lot with my adults, is that self-trust.
Yeah, that's great. We recently had like a little conference with students from 5 different schools, and in their feedback of the conference, the resounding feedback was more opportunity to talk about mental health, more mental health, you know, tips. And, you know, so if for whatever reason our society might be thinking, oh, that was like a COVID issue, or, you know, it's, you know, to your point, stigma is still very strong, and there's huge need and desire for that topic and reality to be raised to the level of care that it needs.
Yeah. And I think in schools, whether it's maybe in the health classes or even just like brain breaks, I've heard some teachers, you know, call it different things, but take a moment in your class. Sure, maybe you teach history or science, but you could still take a moment and be like, hey, let's just do a mental health check, right? Like, how's everybody actually doing? Right. Like, or like, if, you know, some kids are shy and they don't want to talk, or, you know, like they're afraid, you know, they're going to get made fun of or something like that. Like, do a check-in on, you know, the iPads that they have now, right? Do like a little survey that goes to the teacher, and they can see who's not doing well, you know, just trying to work that mental health check-in, even like just simple as 0 to 10, how are we doing today, right? Write it on this piece of paper, you know, fill out this survey kind of thing. Just doing that, I think, would really open our eyes to of like, what's going on too.
Yeah. To the adult listener, if they did that type of check-in and 10 was greatest day of my life, 0 is like, I hate life, you know, don't want to live, or anything like that. If they got a response like that, what advice would you give to the student influencer to do with that type of information?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely don't make the surveys private, right? Like, or like private in the sense of like, they can't write their name, right? We want them to have their names, so when we get that response, we can see who it says, right? And my first advice is touch base with that student.
Yeah.
Right. Like our initial reaction is like, I have to call mom, dad, caregiver, right? I have to tell the principal, I have to tell the dean, but just check with the student first, right? Like, make that connection right away with them, and, you know, pull them, you know, out of class, or, you know, however you need to do that. You know, just connect with them. Hey, you know, I know we did our mental health check-in, and, you know, you're saying you're not great. Like, what's going on? Let's talk about that more. Give them that space to share, right? Because then they also see that like somebody's listening and seeing and hearing. Because often kids might do those and be like, nobody's going to look at this, right? Nobody's going to look at this survey. So, you know, be that teacher or adult who does read it and connect with them first, hear them out first, right? Like see really what's going on and then be like, okay, let's problem solve, right? Can I hook you up with a counselor that's at school? Or let's, you know, let's talk to your parents. Let's bring them in a little bit, or your grandparents, your caregivers. But I always think it's the best to connect with the student first.
Yeah, that's great. So, okay, personal question, Mary, how do you prioritize your mental health? What have you found to be helpful for you?
I definitely am a sit in silence person. I meditate sometimes, but I will even so much as like at the end of my workday, I'll drive home in complete silence. I won't do radio. I won't do anything. I'm very much a silence person with that. And I do think that helps because it helps reset like that work from life balance too, right? So I don't go right from work home and all of a sudden I'm still stressed about work. I just kind of use that time to process through all my day and my sessions and things like that. And then I go home and I'm fresh and I'm, you know, ready for my home life. That's a big piece. I love to read. I'm one that likes to stay home. I'm definitely a homebody for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to stay home to kind of charge that social battery that they, you know, we hear about so often too. Yeah. So, you know, I like to stay home and read or take baths or do a lot of those solo activities just to connect with myself again and how I'm doing. Also working out big time. I love bike riding. So I do that at home. I have a stationary bike. So I do that a lot too. And I think movement in itself is just huge for our mental health as well.
Yeah, those are great. Cool. Well, as we wrap up, if I have an adult listener who just is like really taking in on the validation piece and the belief piece, and maybe they're giving surveys, if they're looking to connect a student at Omni Counseling, what might be the easiest way to get a student involved or in connecting with a counselor with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best bet is reaching out to our intake department. And that number is 353-1500, extension 1664. That goes right to our intake. And they're going to be able to welcome you in, connect you with a therapist, and kind of start that intake process. So that's going to be our first, you know, go-to step. Otherwise, you know, reaching out. We are in a few of the districts as well. District 214, 21. I don't know all of them. I apologize, but we are in some of the districts. So, you know, reaching out to the counselors when you see them there. Also our prevention team through Omni too is often in our schools. And that'd be a great way to also connect, to get connected to us as well too.
Wonderful. Well, Mary, we really loved having you on here and just the knowledge and insight you shared. I know will be really helpful to teachers and student influencers. So thanks for joining What's the Mood?
Thanks for having me.